Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was the mirror haunted or was the house haunted?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you have a real ghost story, we would love to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802, or you can write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to be a premium subscriber, you get advance episodes, you get access to thousands more in the archive, all without commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts, try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon's here today. I think that question at the beginning of this episode is kind of like the chicken or the egg. Is it the house that's haunted or the item that you brought into it?
It's the mirror. It's always the mirror. if the question is mirror, if that's in any of the responses, if that's one of my options, you know, in a multiple choice, it's mirror.
I'll take mirror, please.
For $1,000, Pat. Like, really, I honestly always feel like you get a mirror, something's coming with it.
We've all seen those mirrors that it's like, no way would I put that in my house.
Oh my gosh, you guys. And, you know, just by definition, mirrors are creepy. And maybe it's because I lived in a haunted house and I felt like I would see something if I looked in a mirror. And maybe that's just always hung over me ever since. But I've never gotten rid of that feeling that if I look in a mirror, I could see something I don't want to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even in the morning, brushing my teeth or something, there's always this weird thing hanging over me. Like, there's something behind me.
Because it's hanging over you. I'm right here, Kathy.
It is. And I just always feel that way. So you ask me house, I'm going mirror every time.
Man, that's another thing I don't want to be, as a ghost. It's like, God, I am watching Kathy brush her teeth again.
And
please do something else.
Yeah.
She's putting on makeup.
The only time she can see me is when she's putting on her mascara, and she has to look in it.
Like, I feel like the mirrors in my house are fine, but you know when you go to the antique store and you see that certain mirror and it's like you get that feeling? Don't take that one home with you.
I get it.
Like, I went to Ashley Furniture and got that bedroom set. I feel confident that that mirror is fine, but I don't want to go to any antique store.
They could, yeah, I get it. Now, the Ashley Furniture is just going to, mirror is just going to reveal what's in your house, right?
Oh, like, so if you there look is into a ghost it, in my house, maybe
right,
I could
right,
see
right,
it.
Right. Yeah. Then it's just going to show that one up. But when you bring one of those creepy ones home from the antique shop, it's already in there.
I'm with you, sister. Yeah. So here is a story. It says, when I was about 18, I had this gold oval mirror in my bedroom. Nothing fancy, really just a plastic frame around 3 feet tall. I shared that room with my twin sister for years, and we'd never noticed anything unusual about the mirror until she started spending less time at home. One night, I was sound asleep with my radio on low. That was you and me growing up. As I've always been a little afraid of the dark, I decided recently to stop using a nightlight to see if I could get over that fear, and it was early in the morning, still dark out, when a loud crash jolted me awake. My mom came running from another part of the house, and we found the mirror had somehow flown halfway across the room ending up on the floor against the wall by my bedroom door. That door had been closed. I inspected everything, nail in the wall, wire on the back of the mirror, still both solid. I hung the mirror up again, and for a few months, nothing happened. Then one afternoon, my sister, a friend, and I were hanging out in my room. My friend was lying on my bed, talking to her dad on the phone about college, and the conversation was getting intense. Out of nowhere, the mirror started shaking violently right in front of my sister and me. We freaked out and asked our friend if she saw it, but she hadn't noticed a thing, even though she was only a few feet away. There were no loud noises or slamming doors before. We tried testing the floors, slamming doors in other parts of the house, but nothing caused that much vibration. After that day, the mirror never acted up again. I don't own it anymore, so I'll never know if it was cursed or if something about that room was off. I should also mention I've had many episodes of sleep paralysis in that same room. Maybe there's a connection. Whatever it was, that mirror event has always left me uneasy, and I still wonder what really happened. That is so strange, because those are really quite profound.
You know, now I'm changing my answer. Okay. I don't think it's the mirror.
You think it's the room?
I don't. And because I've had a kind of, as you guys know, some similar experiences. They weren't with a mirror, but they were with artworks on the wall.
Yeah, not that long ago, before you moved.
Yeah, and they, like, I would come home and a picture in a frame would be thrown, like, across the room. But, like, if it wouldn't be directly in front of where it was, like, it had blown straight off the wall. It would be blown at an angle, you know, and thrown on the floor to where it bent the frame, kind of thing. Like, this one frame, this one picture out of all of these pictures on the wall, which I had this little grouping of pictures, right? It flew off the wall. And the others weren't disturbed. They weren't crooked. Nothing was wrong, right? This one flew off, and it flew off at an angle, not straight forward, crashed on the floor, because if it would have flown off straight forward, it hit the bed, right? But it goes, misses the bed, crashes in the middle of the floor, bends the thing. That's what it sounded like when she was saying this thing about the mirror, how it flew across the room, and there wasn't a reason for it. I guess it didn't break, because they picked it up and put it back on the wall.
No, the nail was there. You know, everything was still, the mirror was still intact.
So if the mirror is intact, it's almost like it came off the wall and somebody set it over there. Wouldn't it have broken?
But it made a loud sound because Mom came running.
Yeah, that's true. But gosh, it seems like it would have broken that mirror. Just in a plastic frame like that, it wasn't like particularly secure, you know, in some way, shape, or form. It's weird.
I don't really think sleep paralysis had anything to do with it.
Well, what I think is there's something on in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe the sleep paralysis, maybe the frame flying off the wall, shaking, whatever. It's not so much the mirror. It's something, some spirit in the room. What do you think?
I don't know, because she was afraid of the dark and she didn't like being in the dark. Maybe that all goes back to she was picking up on something in that room.
Yeah, I feel like it's more of something happening throughout the room, not just the mirror. And I know I was like big on the mirror's always at fault, but it doesn't feel like it in this case.
See, you hear the right story and you change your mind.
Yep, changed my mind.
But it is a creepy ass mirror. And I think, I don't know if I'd have put it back up after the first time. I'd have been like, that's so bizarre and shouldn't have happened.
Because it was that same kind of thing where it landed in an area it should not have been able to land in. If it sounds like it's as far away as I'm taking it from the way she described it, I don't see how it doesn't break.
Yeah.
I don't get that. So that's weird.
The whole thing is weird. And then for them to see the mirror shaking violently on the wall, her and her sister are both seeing it, and then the friend doesn't see a thing. But then the friend was in an intense conversation with dad. And,
you know, a teenage girl caught up in a conversation with a dad, very angry and not paying a bit of attention to anything around her.
First time in history that's happened.
Yeah, that's true. First time for everything. But I think, but I just feel like it's the room. I think something was on in the room.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Well, let's go to a phone call.
Hey, this is Jason from Alabama. No one has ever believed this story or this experience until, I don't know, except for the people who have gone through it. So let me just get started with it. I'm 35 years old now. This story happened when I was probably about 20, between 19 and 20. And I remember that through the friends I had that were there with me and the time period that was there. We used to be, like through high school, we were always interested. I came from a small town and we were always interested in something that was not there, you know. We would get run off through the police or whatever. And, have to find something else to do. So we would always try to find something else to do. And we wound up getting very interested into the paranormal activity in our area. So we became, I wouldn't call it ghost hunters so much, you know, as a, you know, nothing more than any typical teenager would call themselves. You know, we would go check out graveyards and, you know, typical places. And but we would always try to have that kind of, I don't know how to say it, you know, skeptic, you know, look at it from a skeptic's point of view. So we actually debunked a lot of stuff and we pretty much debunked everything that we ever saw that could have been some kind of paranormal activity. Well, one day one of our friends came to us and he was like, okay, so I just got this story from, it was a family member, and I can't remember the family member, like if it was a, like uncle or whatever, but I think I want to say it was his uncle. I told him about a an issue that was kind of close to their house. It wasn't really the house itself or anywhere near it. It was kind of like a nearby neighborhood, and it wasn't just the neighborhood. It was kind of like the whole woods surrounding the neighborhood. The story went, and I have never believed this in my life. I still don't believe it to this day because it always seemed a little cliche for me, but the story went, there was a headless bride that walked the woods at night. And that was kind of the story that went around. And I never believed it. Still don't believe it. But however, there is definitely something going on in those woods.
Okay, bizarrely, it just cut off right there.
Oh,
I feel like we only got half the story.
I think we did.
Because then does it go on? It goes two ways here. Did they see the headless woman in the woods? Or did they not see the headless woman in the woods? But to me, that kind of sounds like one of those kind of ghost stories that go around in every town.
Well, it sounds like a good ghost story.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can go with that. I think oftentimes with these kind of urban legend ghost stories, there's an element of truth somewhere. Something creepy happened, and then somebody said, you know, it reminds me of that thing that they were talking about over in, you know, Oxford or some other town, where this bride was killed, and then pretty soon the bride is headless and she's walking around. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just kind of goes through this thing. I am not saying that something creepy doesn't happen in the woods. I'm just not sure it's this. I think sometimes we just put a face to something, you know.
Yeah.
We'll attach something to it and go, well, it's that, you know. And then sometimes it's kind of like that, the dead girl by the bridge or whatever.
Yeah, the bridge kind of stories are all kind of similar.
You know, those are very similar. Is it because, you know, nothing ever happened there? Probably not. Probably some things happened, you know. Something happens basically everywhere. And it just goes, you know, it just kind of, you know, it's a domino effect. You know, you go, well, that bridge had this. I wonder if it could be that, you know, and then pretty soon everybody's just going, yeah, it's that, you know.
Well, I think so, that often, whether it is the haunted woods and the headless woman, it could be the haunted house in your town that the stories go around. It could be you're going to do a paranormal investigation and you did some research on the house and you find out that there's this horrible energy in the blue room upstairs. Mm-hmm. So you're going to, whenever you get near the haunted house or the haunted forest or the bridge, you're going to be like, okay, this is where that happened. And this is what everybody's saying. So you're going to go into it with a different energy yourself, mm-hmm. kind right. of expectation. And you're kind of scared, just, you know, preparing mm-hmm. yourself for it. So sometimes I think we kind of collectively can get ourselves all worked up over stuff.
Yeah, I think we can psych ourselves out, right? I think that's absolutely true. But on the other hand, I am not trying to say that something creepy doesn't happen in the woods there. It very well could.
It could. You know. And it also, I feel like, maybe not, because you're thinking it's going to happen.
Well, and in this particular story, we didn't get enough of the
we
end
don't
of the story.
Know.
I think he was going to tell us. So if that was Jason, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he could call back,
like to know
where
a little
that
bit more
story
about that.
Ended, we would like to know. Yeah,
I'd I would like to know. Was mm-hmm. it just the creepy story about the woods? I do get how you live in a town and you're bored and you find it something interesting like paranormal investigations. Totally get that.
Yeah, well, you can only end up at the police station so many times before something different is going to have to happen.
Exactly.
So I get that. And I get where, you know, kids can be very, you know, enamored with the occult or the paranormal. And, you know, I think it's personally kind of fun and kind of interesting. And I am not saying something didn't happen in the woods. It very well could. Sometimes I think you need to stay out of the woods for more real reasons, like serial killers. Just saying.
You just don't you know.
You can tell, like, we grew up in the 70s and 80s at the prime height of serial killer.
I don't think the height of serial killing has ever changed. I think it could be the height of it is going on now. You don't know.
I mean, I'm assuming, I just think it's harder to be a serial killer these days because of all the...
You got to be smarter about it.
And, you know, like, because people can look at cases from other states. We got that cross state stuff where people can see things and maybe make connections there. Didn't used to be the case. Like if a murder happened in Kansas, it just happened in Kansas. Nobody else would. They weren't putting it together with one from Idaho.
Well, in forensics, you know, it's
right.
like things
and
have
DNA
really changed.
Now,
you have to be smarter about doing it.
I think
lots more things to take into consideration now than in the 70s, for
That's
sure.
That's why I said it's harder to be a serial killer these days.
And I think there's still plenty of people out there.
Yeah.
I don't think that changes.
Oh, my God.
Let's not
now
talk
about
that
I really
anymore.
Can't sleep tonight now.
Well, let's do one more story about something more normal, like just a regular old ghost story.
Okay, I like
so that. In July of 2017, my boyfriend and I rented a vacation home in Waldport, Oregon. I don't know if that's near you or not.
Spell it.
W-A-L-D port.
Okay.
To celebrate our birthdays and our two-year anniversary. Waldport sits a few miles south of Newport, but feels like a completely different world. More like a tiny retirement community than a tourist destination. For a few days, we even had friends drive from Salem to join us, which was a wonderful surprise. Let me start by saying, I do believe in ghosts or spirits, whatever you want to call them. Still, I'd never really had a personal encounter. I always joke that some higher power must be protecting me, knowing I'd freak out if I ever saw something. But everything changed in that little Waldport house. One night, all four of us were asleep. Our two Labradors were curled up in the bedroom with us. Our friends were in the room to the left. The bathroom was to the right. and a short hallway led straight to the kitchen, which shut our bedroom door to keep the dogs from wandering out and disturbing anyone. Sometime after midnight, I suddenly woke up. I glanced at the door. It was cracked open just enough for me to see a tall, dark outline in the doorway. I couldn't make out any features, just a pitch black silhouette. Someone or something standing there staring into the room. An overwhelming wave of fear hit me so hard I started crying. Then as quickly as it appeared, the shadow slipped away from the doorway. Terrified, I shook my boyfriend awake, insisting someone had just been looking into our room. Half asleep, he tried to comfort me, telling me it was probably nothing. Eventually, I fell back to sleep, but I spent the rest of the day feeling utterly spooked. I couldn't shake the memory of that figure at the door. We asked our friends the next morning if they'd gotten up during the night. They both said no. Even our dogs, usually so alert, hadn't stirred. But I know what I saw. I can still feel the goosebumps. Fast forward about a year later, I was at my own home when I caught a glimpse of that same kind of shadowy figure. This time it darted in my peripheral vision, moving quickly from my side toward the hallway. The fear hit me all over again. The weird thing is, my family has had other encounters. About 4 years before we moved into our current place, my three boys and I lived in an apartment for around a decade. My youngest son was there alone after school one day, door closed, playing video games with our puppy beside him. Suddenly, he called me in a panic, saying someone was standing in the hallway. He could see a shadow beneath the door, blocking out the light on both sides of it. I phoned his older brothers, who rushed home. They found nothing at all, yet my youngest still swears someone was there. Even my mom had an unsettling moment in that apartment when she visited from Ohio. She was certain that someone or something was lurking around while she was alone. There was another strange incident that happened long before that, when my two older boys were under 10 years old and my niece, who was a bit older, was visiting at my grandmother's house. They were playing in the back family room, a cozy space off the dining room with a sliding door to the backyard. Years later, they still talk about the time they were sure someone was watching them in that room. I don't know what to make of all these experiences, except that they've convinced me there's more to our world than we can easily explain. All I know for sure is that I never want to see that shadow again. It was terrifying enough the first time. That's from Gina. What do you think? Like, do you think it could be like the same thing? Like,
well, that's what I'm trying to decide. It's interesting, but other people are seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, when she's not there, the boys saw it, mm-hmm. but they saw it at the grandmother's house. They saw it at a rental house. They saw it at that one apartment. I think she said when she was just at home. So wherever I think home is now, it's happened. So it isn't something exclusive to a place. Mm-mm. And it's not exactly exclusive just to Gina.
Exactly. Her kids are seeing it too.
Her mom.
Yeah.
Her kids.
The niece.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to be anybody that's trying to mess with them or anything, I should say, because it's more like just watching them.
But they're all creeped out by it.
But I would be creeped out by any shadow. Like, it could be the friendliest shadow in the history of the paranormal, and I would still get freaked out by it.
Well, okay, we had a caller on a show not too long ago that said that they had seen a shadow figure, heard some things, this and that, and they didn't find it frightening, and to almost to the point that you could feel like in their voice, I know this is, or in the when they the way they wrote it, I know this is a little surprising, but I'm not frightened by it. And see, that's what I find is the difference here, is that they are. Everybody that has it is unsettled or just a creeped out.
Because it feels stalker.
Right? She started crying.
It feels like it's something stalking you. That's why I'd be creeped out.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel kindly or something. That's what I guess I'm trying to say. Because I have something where I've seen like a man on some different occasions, right? Now, it makes me jump and it makes me go, oh, you know, like that, like, wow, you know, like you want to go, Jesus, you just scared the shit out of me, you know, to them. They're gone. And, you know, my response is so strong. I know I saw it because my heart is beating, you know, really fast. Now, am I totally like can't sleep, can't move, can't do? No, I'm shook up a little bit, but I'm like, okay, you know, I'm okay. I'm okay. And I really do feel like that is some protective thing. Their responses is not that it's a good thing. That's what bothers me. It really does scare everybody.
But to be honest, I don't care if it's a good presence that's peeking in my room at night. If I woke up and saw that, it would scare me. Because it's like the approach. Like you're approaching in a stalkery, creeper way. Now, if I felt love and warmth from you first, but I'm not, you know, it's just creepy.
It's creepy. And they're creeped. Everybody that's had the experience has been undone by it.
And
for sure.
I don't know what that is, but it doesn't seem like it's connected to the house. It feels like it's connected to the family.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Oh, Kathy, I don't want to wake up tonight and see that shit.
No.
So if you have a real ghost story, let us hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, you can be a premium subscriber, get the advanced episodes, get access to the archive, sign up through Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you very much for listening.